Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good evening. It is Thursday night, December 2nd, 2021, 23 days away from Christmas. I'm a little drained, Don Tony, tonight, I have to admit it. But we will take chicken doo-doo and turn it into chicken salad. We will have a fun little show tonight. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I know a lot of you out there already know one thing we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight is all about you, Q&A, whatever's on your mind, and I'm looking at the chat room right now. Big shout out to Kevon Lewis, Austin Nance, Lee Sanders, RCWR, One Fall, Sterling, Johnny, Zarpentine, Dorian Mesa, Chris Maycock, Nathan Rada, goes on and on and on and on and on. That was an old house song. It goes on and on, on and on. Listen, before we do anything, somebody remind me later to let's get the razor blade and cut open Kevin Nash's head. Let's see what this thing says. Remember, we got to change the batteries. This is from 1998, I think. So we got to change the batteries. Let's see if this thing has anything funny to say. So maybe that'll lift the spirits tonight. Don't think I didn't forget. Even though I passed out last Wednesday, we did a little impromptu Guess the Rampage. Well, actually, Guess the Dynamite Predictions Contest. Guess the Dynamite Rating Predictions Contest. And Psycho187, congrats to you, my friend. Last week's Dynamite was 898,000 viewers. He was the closest, as you could see on the screen. I think he put like 886 or something like that. So you get your choice of any shirt you want, WWE, AEW, it doesn't matter, any promotion. You could choose podcasters. You could choose shows that you consider my rivals, you know? It's all good. Big shout out to the enemies. Ain't dead yet. Ain't dead yet. I think we'll do another contest tonight. Now, before we start answering a boatload of questions from the chat room, actually, I take that back. Quite a few of you in the chat room asked me if I was going to talk about it. You see, I am a big fan of AEW. It's pretty obvious. You tune in every week. We do a show on Wednesday night mostly because of AEW. But I am very fair and I am critical when I feel it's needed. And one of the biggest turnoffs about AEW in the first couple of years, and I hope that they can change the, just the aura of the promotion online, especially social media, is that when it comes to WWE, you could criticize the brand, you could criticize the storylines. You know, we usually, and this is one credit to most of everybody online. Nobody really criticizes the wrestlers and their work ethic. It's not their fault that they're booked to be in a 2-minute match. Sure, some wrestlers who have been accused of injuring wrestlers, being a little careless, they have gotten the criticism. But for the most part in WWE, when you criticize the product, you can express your opinion. I mean, how many John Cena promos did we see over the years? You are a fan. You have every right to cheer who you want, to boo who you want, to like and not like what you want. John Cena used to shove that down our throat repeatedly. AEW, so many people are so afraid to give a little bit of criticism because they know that people that actually work for AEW will shove it right down your throat to criticize you. No one in AEW is going to ever say to you, me, haters, non-haters, supporters, people that want to see it do better, people that want to see it do worse, you're never going to see anybody in AEW say to someone, criticize, you know what, you're right. You're right. That's why many years ago, when Bully Ray offered to fly me to Florida to confront him in the ring about all the stuff I was saying about TNA, and that was right at the time with the August 1st warning. Remember that? Who was the August 1st? Oh, God. Who was the August 1st warning again? It's right at the tip of my tongue. The bald guy. The bald guy. Chat room, bail me out. Tito Ortiz. I bailed myself out. Remember Don West? It's Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz. He's in the impact zone. Tito Ortiz. And there was no reaction whatsoever. If you would have recorded his entrance music and put it online and say, hey, I got the original version, mint condition, no one would have ever thought that you recorded it from TV because there was no crowd reaction. And I shouted out the good things, the bad things, but I DM'd Bully Ray at that time and I said, look, I don't expect you to ever say publicly, Anthony, you're right. This does stink. He was a huge supporter of that company. He did everything right. I was wrong, 100%. And that's long buried, no animosity, but he was right in the end. But you have people criticizing Adam Cole's use in AEW. You got the owner himself, where people would trade in, like I said before, trade in their own fathers to adopt Tony Khan as their dad. And you have Tony Khan answering these people back. Now, Tony Khan does it in a professional way, but all of the radical left online are the ones that go for blood. You can't criticize it without the risk of being ridiculed and possibly someone with name value. Lord God forbid. And that's why I titled tonight's Q&A the way I did. You think I enjoy writing AEW Dynamite? Lowest Wednesday rating since April? Google it. Search it on Twitter. Search it on Facebook, Instagram. Look everywhere. You will not find one website writing that. Yet, when it comes to Raw, the ninth lowest Raw in the history of Raw, the lowest since March, the lowest between 10 and 10:15, since 1994, nobody will write something like that. And that is bias at its finest. Like I said, let me repeat myself. I do not like having to say that AEW's Dynamite from last night, December 1st, was the lowest Wednesday rating on a Wednesday. We don't count Friday, Saturday, we don't count those. Those are special airings, preemptions, whatever. The lowest Wednesday rating since April 7th. Nobody, not one person, will bring that to the attention. In fact, you don't think that Dave Meltzer knows that? You don't think that Brandon Thurston knows that? You don't think that? And I'm not saying that Brandon is in the pocket of AEW. He is one of the most fairest people. But because to avoid getting all this negative BS thrown his way, he doesn't say it. I said it because when I saw the rating come in, which was, what was the rating this week? I think 661 down from last week's, no, 661, 891. No, 861. Sorry. Last week was 898. This week was 861. And, yeah, yes, Brandon is good people. Lee, no question. I absolutely like Brandon. I am not. Listen, Brandon doesn't write some of that because I think he just doesn't want all the dumb hate tweets. You know, I don't blame him. But, you know, when I saw the rating, I said, you know, I got to see, and this is how I even figured this out. I said, I got to see what the ratings look like since CM Punk debuted in AEW. And CM Punk's AEW debut was Dynamite debut. Let me make that a little clearer. His Dynamite debut. And if it sounds like I have a cold, I don't. I didn't sleep well yesterday. Had a lot of things on my mind. A little concerned about today's stress test. And I guess I had good reason. I'll explain in a little bit. CM Punk's Dynamite debut was August 24th, 2021. And that rating, August 25th, that rating was 1,172,000 viewers. Now, of course, you had a lot of curiosity. We haven't seen CM Punk in a very long time. This was his first Dynamite appearance. And still, that it feels like the newness of CM Punk was still there. So I was curious to see what the ratings have become since that debut. And again, I don't include the Thursday or the Friday preemptions because of sports. But if you look at it, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight episodes of over a million. In fact, you of those seven, I'm looking at it right now, you had 5 of those 7 that were over 1.1 million. 2 of them were over 1.2 million. And one of them was 1,319,000. So we had a couple of Friday episodes, if you remember. And I looked over the last 5 weeks. And we got 941, 878, 912, 984, 898. And I said, 861. When was the last time they were lower than that on Wednesday? I had to look further and further and further and further. And went all the way back to April. You can't to know what the card was the last time they were this low. Hangman Page over Max Caster. Jurassic Express over Bear Country. Darby Allin over J.D. Drake to retain the TNT Championship. Ty Conti over the Bunny. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers over John Moxley and the Young Bucks. Wasn't that when the Young Bucks, I guess, turned on Moxley? So, you know, just to give you an idea of, you know, this wasn't an off night where they just had, you know, average stars on. You go back, you arguably had more of their big names on the show. So the thing is, it goes back to what I was saying before, Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty, I think, is going to be a star. Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to, you know, compare him to like Cedric Alexander or Sammy Guevara or some of the others. It's going to take years to build that. But the thing is, some of the wrestlers that have been going up against Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, they really, and I know this sounds cold, they really have no business being on Dynamite. Dark and Elevation is really where you have to develop people for years, especially if they're, you know, very little name value. You know, seeing 2.0 and Daniel Garcia beating up Jericho, you think, how many people out there do you truly, truly, truly think they want to see when Chris Jericho returns to the States from doing Fozzy, that they want to see something like Jericho and, I don't know, Eddie Kingston versus 2.0. You know, you see where I'm going with this? You know, we have been spoiled. We have been spoiled for over 20 years of having big names taking on established names. You look at Raw, you look at SmackDown for the most part. You know, it's nice to see your favorites, but CM Punk has done so much in his career. You could go back 7 years and see him at his finest. You think him versus Lee Moriarty is something that a plethora of fans have got to stop what they're doing and watching? No. Bryan Danielson, Allen Angels, sure, he's in his hometown. Of course, he's going to get a huge pop. The Dark Order is over with AEW fans, but for the casual fans, you think they care about 5, 10, 20? You know, they don't. John Silver, yeah, he's going to be over in Long Island next week, no question. But for the casual fan, they're not interested in any of these guys. You know what the worst part about it is? When, and this is something I've said before, when Tony Khan refuses to do DQ victories, refuses to do, for the most part, fruit roll-ups. Now, we don't like fruit roll-ups. We don't like DQ victories. But sometimes it is a must to advance the storyline, because there is absolutely nothing wrong if MJF is taking on Lee Moriarty and CM Punk distracts MJF and Lee Moriarty gets the fruit roll-up win. Oh, because Riho fruit rolled up. That doesn't sound right. Britt Baker. Oh, my God. See, anything could happen at any time. No, that was just because they were a couple of weeks away from the storyline they actually want to do. When you have wrestlers who do not get disqualified, you know, you don't have somebody hit the ring causing a disqualification where it goes in the other favor, you look on paper, and not only that, the formula, you know, everybody criticizes WWE with the can they coexist? Yes, WWE does it way too much. WWE also does way too much at the beginning of Raw or SmackDown. You'll see some pull apart a brawl, and I've talked about it before. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville will come out. No, 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 no. This is not how it's going down. No, 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 no. And it's got old really, really fast. You don't think, Mr. Khan, that fans haven't figured out the Acme Insta feuds, the stuff that I've been saying since 1997? Acme Insta feud? You know what that is? When someone hits the ring for no apparent reason and starts beating up on someone, you don't think people like, oh, okay, they're setting up a match on Rampage. When Bobby Fish, for no reason whatsoever, just showed up and started beating someone up, and to try to cover it up, oh, we'll have him commingle with Adam Cole for a little while. Everybody knew that that was setting up a Rampage match. When you see that they haven't Thunder Rosa's student take on Jade Cargill on Rampage, what did we say yesterday? Cargill's going to squash her like a grape and then continue to assault her to get Thunder Rosa to hit the ring to try to add this friction because they're having a semifinal match. A lot of this, why is this person out there? Why is Red Velvet coming to the aid of Chris Statlander? Why is Chris Statlander coming to the aid of Ruby Soho? But the week before, Chris Statlander was a heel. People have figured it out. People have figured it out. So, yes, I am the founder of the fruit roll-up concept. It's funny, one fall. How many people say fruit roll-up now? You know, yeah, it's good. I mean, I know a lot of people never give me credit for some of the things that I say, but it's all good. It's all good. As long as you all know and as long as we share the knowledge. Oh, we're going to talk about Beth Phoenix and drop a little knowledge tonight. We're going to drop a little knowledge. Before we do that, Bob the Builder. He thinks that I am right. Criticism is important. However, I feel like when Tony Khan talks it, it gives the AEW haters ammunition on Twitter. Tony Khan needs to stop Twitter. I disagree with you there. Tony Khan praising the matches as they happen on TV and hyping up the fans online about what's coming up, that's pretty freaking cool. That's pretty cool. The problem that has happened, and some of you may not even admit it publicly, but I know you would admit it privately, said AEW cannot handle criticism. A lot of the fringe element, these radical fans online, bloggers, podcasters, they can't handle any criticism. And how they combat that criticism that you throw is by bringing up WWE. Two wrongs don't make a right. You don't justify dumb creative with more dumb creative. You don't justify bad behavior with more bad behavior. So every time you express a little criticism, there's somebody there to rip you apart. Look at Adam Cole. We said it yesterday, right after Dynamite. Did you see all the reports today? We were spot on last night. When Adam Cole came to the ring to do his intro, his whole ring entrance, just to go on commentary, we figured it out in a split second. That was Tony Khan for all the people over the weekend that were saying, look at Adam Cole in NXT and what he's done, and look at what he's doing on AEW. Tony Khan raced to the internet. He's over as F. He cursed. I'm trying not to curse tonight. He's over as... He's got more viewers. More people are watching him than he was on Tuesdays. You know, Mr. Khan, with all due respect, you would have gotten 898 whether Adam Cole was on yesterday or not. Am I wrong? You look at the quarter hours. Adam Cole's quarter hour was not the highest quarter hour of the night. So if you want to split hairs, Adam Cole actually lost viewers yesterday. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone. If you didn't tune in to last Sunday's show, don't misconstrue what I'm saying now. I said that as long as Adam Cole is happy and AEW fans are happy with the way he's being used, there's no issue with that. But when you look at Adam Cole, who was the MVP of NXT for 3 or 4 years, and you see what he's doing on Dynamite, of course, he's working part-time. He's having fun. He's relaxed. He's getting a decent paycheck, and because he could game and work elsewhere if he needs to, if he wants to, remember, if he wants to. You know, just because some people want to go to AEW because it's a very loose contract, they could go on social media, they can game. If they want to work indies, they can. Ruby Soho just announced that she's going back to, I think, AEW, where she started her career. You know, these wrestlers are allowed to work other places. So they're not getting paid WWE money in AEW. They're getting paid far less. But basically, they're allowed to work other places as long as it doesn't conflict with AEW's schedule. And as far as everybody's concerned, you're all elite. But you're also allowed to do all this other. So for some wrestlers, that is very, very enticing. Mental health, especially during COVID, especially during, you know, all the hate and all the crazy stuff going on in this world and the recession, you know, being happy right now is probably, you know, the most important thing for a lot of people in wrestling. So when people leave WWE, it doesn't always mean that there's hate, negative, bitterness. And Bob, Senior Builder, if he's Tony Khan after today's rating, he's going to use that as motivation and make sure to not cater to the fans they already have. That's part of the solution, my friend, but I don't see them doing that. You know, remember, this is something that nobody ever brings up. You know, AEW is stronger in 18 to 49 many times, and WWE is stronger in the 12 to whatever demographic. Well, WWE programming is rated PG. AEW Dynamite is TV 14. How come nobody ever brings that up? When you have an R-rated film, Back in the day, PG movies made a lot more money than R-rated movies. Why? Because kids were not allowed in movie theaters for R-rated films. You would sneak in or you would have fake ID. I used to do it as a teenager. So when a PG movie does a hell of a lot more at the box office and an R-rated movie doesn't do so much, did you ever see the movie critics trying to like, you're like, oh, I did this did better than this one? No, because they understood that the audience is different. So every time I read these people with the ratings, with AEW and WWE, I say to myself, AEW, with responsible parents that actually, you know, take the TV rating seriously, and a lot of parents do. They probably don't let their kids watch AEW Dynamite. You think they want to hear CM Punk call MJF needle prick? I'm not trying to be overly PG tonight, but seriously, it's TV 14. That means children are not supposed to watch it. If they were allowed to watch it, it wouldn't be TV 14. That's why when I said before, probably Tony Khan's answer to getting much bigger viewers is either try to coax away some of the biggest WWE stars still on the roster, or you're going to have to expand your product to be suitable for younger viewers. And oh my goodness, could you imagine the young adults, this fringe element on the left, if Tony Khan decides to go PG, as if PG wrestling can't be cool? I grew up in PG wrestling before ECW came around, where everything was TV 14. And I could tell you, this is pretty damn good PG wrestling with Piper and the Four Horsemen and Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat. And you could just go down the line, Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, pre-DX. That was PG. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? See, it's like horror films of today. A lot of horror films of today, they're terrible. And the only thing that saves them is the computer technology, that they can make stuff look so realistic that people tune into it anyway. So it's a lot lazier. Oh, we'll just do computer graphics. You look at a lot of these Furious movies, you know, all the special effects of cars like going off buildings and flipping over 850 times, and then somehow the guy in the car goes out for beers 5 minutes later. Hey, how was your day? You know, it's all computer. It's lazy. It's lazy. And then you got today, people always trying to do, you know, do remakes of previous films because they can't creatively come up with good stuff. So it's very lazy to be vulgar. It's very lazy to get uber violent. It's lazy. It works. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I enjoy a little cursing. It feels a little bit more realistic. I enjoy a little bit more violence in an intense feud. I'm not saying that it's not very good, but you've alienated a big demographic of wrestling fans, the younger viewers. So I think until Tony Khan opens up his product where younger viewers could tune in, you know, I don't know how these ratings get bigger and better unless they start really going hardcore with storylines. So, by the way, want to give a special thank you to Sal. Sal, thank you, DT, for everything you do. I saw your post about the stress test. Remember, it saved your dad's life. Keep your mind off of it. Take your lady out for some lunch this weekend on me. What if I don't want to take her out? Can I have it all for me? Please? Thank you very much, my friend. That was very, very kind of you. And believe me, everyone, you know, I'm not trying to diminish what Sal sent over. You do not have to do that to be supportive. Tell your friends about the shows. Post it on social media. If I post a preview, retweet it, post it somewhere else. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can help. And believe me, if it wasn't for all of you, I would not have gotten this deal. And trust me, you go on that website, and trust me, I know a lot of you out there had not heard of Blue Wire before because it's only been around for a few years. But you look at the shows that are on there, they're looking for the best of the best. Look at the wrestling shows. Tell me I don't look out of place next to Chris Van Vliet, Gallows and Anderson, Chavo Guerrero Jr., Sam Roberts. I mean, and what were the other? I don't remember the other two shows on there. There's no Joe Schmoes on there. This is like the top of the top. And if it wasn't for you supporting what I do, you know, there's a lot of people on social media that I'll try to convince you that they have these gigantic, gigantic audiences. If they had those gigantic, gigantic audiences, don't you think that people would take notice of that? You know, so this was a long time coming, and I thank you very much for that. I also, yes, Crazy Cruise Way. I actually listened to it back yesterday, and you're right. You know, I'm just in that habit of Kylie Rae. And, you know, I have to put Special before K, because there was a rapper, Special K, that I used to like. But when it comes to NXT and Kaylee Ray, I always have to, in the back of my mind, put the Special before it. So it's like Special K. Oh, not Kai, K. Kai K. Kai K. Kai K. Of course, we know the difference of Kylie Ray, you know, who has been battling some issues with mental health and has been in and out of wrestling a little bit. That's not the same wrestler that's in NXT, but, you know, the way I say it, it does come off as confusing. So you're absolutely right. So from now on, when I talk about Kaylee Ray in NXT, subconsciously, I say Special beforehand, but oh no, one fall. I'm not saying it because I'm part of the Blue Wire family right now. Chris Van Vliet does great shows. You know, I mean, I've admitted it that when I first became aware of his shows years ago, I don't know, it was just something I couldn't get into. And then it just clicked. Same thing with Jim Cornette and Brian Last. You know, Jim Cornette, you know, years ago, I just thought he was off his rocker and a lot of the stuff that he would say. But, you know, you listen a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. And, you know, a lot of it made sense. I don't agree with everything that they say, but I listen to their work every week now. You know, nobody's perfect. People are going to, you know, not every show is going to be liked by everybody. So now, check this out. We talked about it yesterday. And here, again, you don't have anybody coming out and maybe being a little bit critical of something. That is Cody Rhodes' back from yesterday. That's not makeup. That is real. And that was exactly what we talked about yesterday. You have a wax coating on those tables. I have bought those tables. I have been put through those tables. I have given tables to some promotions like FTW at the time, and they would set it on fire. There is a wax coating, and there is an art to having a flaming table. And in my opinion, and of course people aren't going to say it because the spot looked cool, I watched it back. Two things that I take away from that spot to be a little critical. And I'm not, look, Cody takes a lot of balls to do what he did. I'm sure he wasn't expecting this, but two things that I took away from that spot. First of all, in my opinion, way too much Zippo fluid on the table. It got soaked and saturated so bad that the pieces of that outer layer of the table was melting off and melted onto Cody's back. So it was the heat from the pieces of the top of the table coating That is what burned Cody. Not the flames, but it was the pieces of the table that stuck to his skin. Too much fluid. How many places had the balls to say that today? I don't think many. I don't think many. Why, we're not allowed to say it because Brandy's a mom? We're not allowed to say it because it's AEW? Why am I shaking my hands like this? Let's be honest. Too much fluid. Too much fluid. It melted off and it landed on his skin. Awesome spot still. Don't get me wrong. Too much fluid. The second thing. When I watched it back, something that I didn't even, like, pay attention to yesterday. Cody's the one that went through the table. Why did Andrade get pinned? Tell me what happened to Andrade that he couldn't kick out of three. I mean, he went off the top rope. Don't get me wrong. But it was Cody that went through the table. And if you go back and you split hairs and look at it closely, why did Andrade get pinned? Go back and watch it. Are we allowed to just be fair? I'm not hating. Takes a lot of balls for Cody to do what he did yesterday. And seriously, man, you know, he loves AEW and he loves wrestling so much and doesn't want to be a heel in the process. Maybe he will one day, but put the heel stuff aside for a minute. You know, to even put yourself at risk like that, you know, he deserves, you know, props. You know, I mean, if you really want to, I gotta get it ready. You know, damn, with all the boos that he got yesterday. Wow, Cody got a lot of heat last night. I saw a bunch of people writing that today. This has got to be Roger Rubio's anniversary. Yeah, I'm like, you know, he's already a member. Yeah, 11 months with La Familia. 11 months, wow. This year went so damn fast, man. So damn fast. Yeah, Lee watched it in slow motion. Andrade, you know, no reason that he was pinned yesterday. I'm just being fair. I'm not being a hater. Let me make that clear. I'm not being a hater. But again, they've created this climate that people are afraid. They're afraid to say things like that because you know that there are people just drooling, waiting to rip. Just let's segue into Beth Phoenix. Psycho, you know you won the shirt early. I don't know if you were here earlier, but yeah, you won. So you got to DM me and let me know what shirt you want. Any promotion, any wrestler or any podcaster. It could be someone I don't like. So whatever you want, it's on me. Any shirt. But Psycho says, last night Cody was on fire. So anyway, look, I'm not going to spend more than 2 minutes about this, 3 minutes. I'm bringing it up. Then we'll go right back to Q&A in the chat. Actually, you know what? Before I do that, Roger Rubio, thank you very much for the 10 spot, my friend. He is at work. Him and his father got the Moderna booster yesterday. Wishing me and my health well. And he will check out the show on the download. So keep earning the cash, my friend. Keep making that moolah. Much love. You know, hopefully you don't get any side effects with the booster. You know, I know the medicine is half the strength of what I got back in August, which is good. It minimized the side effects. But as we're starting to learn that these boosters and the COVID vaccines may not be that that good at dealing with this Omicron variant. And in New York today, I think they announced that there's at least 5 cases. Oh, believe me, by next week, there's going to be hundreds. But what's coming out, and we talked about it, I think, on Sunday, is the symptoms are very, very mild. So, you know, if we get it, we have some protection. You know, it may not protect it, you know, completely. No booster does that. No vaccine does that. But, you know, be careful. You know, even because believe me, I a lot of times I go out. If I feel comfortable, I won't put a mask on if I don't have to. But I look at my surroundings. If I see somebody constantly coughing, if I see people yelling in the air, if they're within my boundaries, then I will throw a mask on. I don't feel my freedom is being threatened. I want this virus to be out of here. I want all the versions, the variants, the sequels, get it out of here. But, you know, remember what we said in February of last year? Do you realize it's going to be 2 years? Do you realize in 2 months, it's going to be 2 years that I bored you to death numerous times and said that one-third of our country was not going to be vaccinated, that half the country doesn't even get flu shots? When a third of the country thinks about autism and everything else, what made anybody think that that third of the country was going to change their mind because of COVID? We said that in February of 2020. And you could offer them $100. I heard Germany today is doing lockdowns on unvaccinated. You know, what are you going to do? Handcuff people to their houses? Everybody's got to be inside their house for 2 weeks. So anybody has the virus, it goes away. You know, it's going to take years and years and years. You just can't turn your life upside down over it. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. So, I'm going to go a little out of place. Am I a voter of the Observer Hall of Fame, Bob? I think I am. I'm a subscriber. I've never bothered really to vote. I always wanted to. I just never really, you know, it's like, you know, I know what I like and don't like. I mean, but I'm a subscriber for a very long time. So I'm sure I'm a voter, but I really don't vote. I don't vote. I leave that for others, you know? And I see when the voting comes out, it's heavily favored for Japan. It's heavily favored for AEW. That's his primary audience. Period. That's his audience. Should be no surprises. So when the awards come out, for 2021 and promoter of the year, booker of the year, man of the year. He, me, whatever they say, of the year. That Tony Khan, it is what it is. Yeah, Sam, you're right. And Austin too. They could lock everybody down. You allow people to come into other countries. You know, I watched them do a state of emergency here in New York late last week. I was in Connecticut, chilling in a log cabin. And we were watching the news, and New York had a state of emergency. Starting Monday, nobody from South Africa could go to New York. But for those 2 days, they could still come. With the promise that they would self-quarantine. My parents have gone to Florida. And by the way, they're going to Florida again this Sunday. My parents have gone to Florida a couple of times since COVID started. They went to Florida, I think, last May. And when they came back to JFK, you know, the thing was that they were supposed to test you. They were supposed to take your information. You were supposed to self-quarantine for like 5 days, seven, whatever it was. And when we picked up my parents from the airport, I said to my father, I said, Dad, I said, you know, did they put you through hell with the questioning about the... He says, nobody said anything. I got my bags, I left. You didn't check them. You didn't check them. Where do I think Johnny Gargano ends up? Great segue. The Beth Phoenix. Johnny Gargano is about to start a family. His wife is pregnant, very much pregnant. The guy is winding down as far as a hardcore full-time career. Is he still going to wrestle full-time? Sure. But 15, 20, 30 matches a year, is that full-time? See, that's the thing I think a lot of people don't realize. You look at some of the people, not just AEW, WWE. Some wrestlers only wrestle 20 times a year. Is that a full-time schedule? Some wrestlers would wrestle 20 times in a month. Well, 2 months. And you have people wrestling 20 times for a whole freaking year. So, Johnny Gargano, you know, he lives in Florida. He doesn't have to wrestle every single week. Of course, he wants to be paid accordingly. And the thing is, how much does WWE value Johnny Gargano for NXT? Remember what I have been saying for a very long time. You need some older wrestlers, more experienced wrestlers, veteran wrestlers to lead and bring the young stars to the next level. I brought it up yesterday. When you go back and you watch WCW Saturday Night, WWF Superstars, Sunday Night Heat, whatever shows you wanted to watch back then, you had some young upcoming wrestlers. I remember 1995, Jeff Hardy, when he took on Waylon Mercy. Jeff Hardy in 1995 didn't take on 19-year-old Joe Blow. So you need some older, established wrestlers that could still go to stay in NXT. Johnny Gargano, I personally think, should be one of them. And again, you know, this idea, and look, I am a fan of Brian Alvarez, but I brought it up yesterday that it's very scary when some people know that anything they say, people will believe because they know no one on the opposite side is going to call them out. When he makes the statement saying that some WWE employees think that Tony Khan is buying truckloads of tickets, well, he didn't say truckloads, but buying lots of tickets to pad the numbers. No, scalpers are the ones doing that, not Tony Khan. But Brian Alvarez is not a stupid man. He knows nobody in WWE management is going to say anything. It's always unnamed sources. I could come up here and say the same thing. Hey, you know, there's people in WWE that think blah, 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 blah. You know, unnamed sources. So now what is it today? Brian Alvarez says, you know, people I've talked to within NXT said it's not fun to work there anymore. I mean, a couple of people. Has he pulled every person there? Mr. Alvarez, how do you think that makes the young stars of NXT trying to become stars, how does that make them feel? Because you talk to, if you really did, you talk to what, 1, 2, 3, 4 people in that whole company, and they're not happy? You know, not for nothing, Mr. Alvarez. When you're so heavily favoring AEW, and when you post your ratings on both sides, it shows it sometimes. Maybe the people that you talk to in WWE talk to you because you have the same mindset. It doesn't mean everybody in WWE is unhappy. That doesn't mean everybody in NXT is unhappy. And man, how messed up is that? To put that on social media, to say that on an interview, and then you get all of the AEW diehards that despise WWE, that want Triple H to be looked at as a victim. What does that do? You're just throwing gasoline on a fire that is totally unnecessary. You're basically painting this picture that WWE is a horrible place to work for. Yeah, everybody's working for a $1 billion publicly traded company. If they're not smart enough to realize that when they sign it on the dotted line, pox on them. I've never said that phrase before. Always wanted to say that phrase. That is so reckless and irresponsible. But what I'm saying is not popular. It's not sexy. It's not sexy. So nobody questions it. So let's lead to Beth Phoenix. So I think Johnny Gargano may end up staying. He may end up staying. I want to talk about Beth Phoenix for a minute. Now I'll talk about Austin Theory because I know somebody brought up Austin Theory. Beth Phoenix is leaving the NXT commentary booth. Beth Phoenix made the statement. Ahead of War Games, I wanted to share that this Sunday will be my final night in NXT. While I will remain a part of WWE, I have made the choice to step away from the weekly broadcast booth to spend more time with my family. This was not an easy decision, as I've loved my 3+ years and 135 episodes with NXT, and I am incredibly proud of the brand. I will forever be grateful for Vic Joseph, Wade Barrett, Nigel McGuinness, Tom Phillips, Mauro Ranallo, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Michael Cole, and my entire NXT family, both in and out of the ring, for the amazing opportunity. NXT will always be a part of me, and Auntie Betty will always be a part of NXT. Leave the porch light on for me. So you have Mr. Alvarez post that reckless comment, and everybody's like, oh, look, the sinking ship. Now Beth Phoenix can't wait to get the F out of there. Not thinking, Beth Phoenix just came out with a country music album. Beth Phoenix has children. Beth Phoenix has a married life with Edge. Did you ever think that maybe she does want to spend more time with her family? Maybe she wants to pursue music a little bit more. Maybe it's not, damn this WWE, what they're doing to NXT. I'm out of here. Why is it always doom and gloom? Why? Because it fits their agenda. There is nothing to insinuate that Beth Phoenix is angry, bitter, upset because of all the NXT releases. She has been around WWE for how many years? She knows better than anyone else. Why is her husband working there? Why is she working there, period? By the way, remember what I teased last Monday? Do you think we might see Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maryse? If that happens, maybe Beth Phoenix needs to take a time away also to maybe train a little bit. Maybe they are going to have her do some appearances on Raw. It's not controversy, everyone, but that's what people want. People want, like, the tabloid. Everything has got to be a tabloid story. There is no controversy with Beth Phoenix stepping away. There's none. Even if she's like, I'm tired. I just want to lay in home and watch TV all day and get fat. You know, if that's what she wants to do, that doesn't mean that the evil Mr. McMahon, you know, that she can't wait to get out of there. Everybody's got to make it negative. That's why it is so reckless and irresponsible to see some people with power on the microphone to say some of the absolute asinine things that they say. Employees in WWE think that Tony Khan is buying crazy loads of tickets. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Tony Khan didn't even address that. That's how stupid it is. But what does that do? That fans the flames for the people that are pushing this hardcore agenda. And it's toxic. It's toxic. I feel bad for everybody in NXT that is having a good time right now. Sure, it's probably not that fun to feel like, wow, if I don't deliver, I'm out of a job. Well, gee, are you supposed to keep your job because we're in COVID? is that the right thing to do? That everybody gets a job? That you can't, God forbid, that you, I'm not defending WWE, but when you start thinking about it, it's so ridiculous what some of these people put online. Yeah, I hear you. All right. Shout out. Who am I shouting out? Ray Guns. Thank you, my friend, for the two spot. No, not sold on Austin Theory just yet. Ray, I have sung the praise for Austin Theory way back when he was still in NXT. When they put him on Raw for a short period of time with Seth Rollins early in COVID, it didn't seem like it fit. Then there was a little controversy. He was off TV for a little bit. But Austin Theory is, you know what's funny? I don't know if any of you out there are going to agree with me on this. Austin Theory reminds me a little bit of Sammy Guevara of a couple of years ago. You know, I mean, look, he's the Spanish God. Everybody thinks, you know, he's incredibly hot. He's very smug and bred. I think Austin Theory in some ways reminds me of Sammy Guevara from a few years ago. Austin Theory obviously is not ready yet to be a major player. But when I said on Monday that I think this guy may back into a title sooner than later, it's, trust me, I think WWE is really, really high on Austin Theory. I say, let's give it a little while. Let's give it a little while. But I like what they're doing with Austin Theory. And I'm curious if they do align him in some way with Adam Cole. I know that sounds a little ridiculous right now, but I almost feel like Vince is going to give something to Austin Theory. Not just advice, not just slaps, but I almost feel like Vince, listen, when you have Vince on TV for 2 weeks in a row, I know they're doing the egg crap, but the fact that they put Austin Theory with Vince McMahon for 2 weeks in a row, how often does that happen these days? It never happens. So obviously they see something big with Austin Theory. I get this feeling we're going to see something on TV where Vince McMahon is going to give a present to Austin Theory. What that present is, I have no idea. We're coming to Christmas. I think Vince McMahon is going to give maybe a Christmas gift. He's going to give Austin Theory a present. And if you look at Austin Theory with his facials, he's nailed it with the facial reaction. Telling you. Remember this clip when it happens. No, he's not giving him the egg dream. I don't think anybody wants the egg. The hell with the egg. Have him give him Hornswoggle. I'm telling you, he's going to give Austin Theory a gift. I'm telling you, he's going to give him a gift. I feel it. I don't know why, but I just feel it. So, Ray Guns, give it a little more time with Austin Theory. I'm with you. Right now, it is way too soon to, you know, but no rush. No rush. He's so freaking young. There's no rush. Remember, if he would have won the title, which we knew he wasn't, but if he would have won the title, he would have been the youngest WWE champion. Younger than The Rock and younger than Randy Orton. All right. Let me just tell you this very quickly. I was supposed to have a stress test on Monday, and I postponed it. And Nir, who you all hang out with in the chat room that lives in Israel, he's got Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I had joked last week that I was going to just cancel the stress test. And he knows about the story about my uncle, who, my father's brother, who had some issues with his heart. And they told him to go for a stress test. And the day before he was supposed to have the stress test, it was about 10, 12 years ago, day before he was supposed to have the stress test, he postponed it for another week. My uncle died 3 days later, heart attack. My father, in January, and a lot of you were here in real time as it was happening. And I even showed you the pictures of me picking him up from the hospital. Some of you on Patreon actually saw my father's chest split open. Not graphic, I mean stitches, but my father went for a stress test in January. And look, I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but I'm saying this because I know a lot of you care about each other on this, you know, online, whether it's here, social media, wherever it is. And I know a lot of you care about me, and I care about a lot of you. So if this sways anybody in the future, then why I'm saying this matters. Believe me, it matters. So my father in January went for a stress test. Okay. Now I purposely kept a couple of pictures here. This is my father and me from 1986. As you could see, my father in absolute tip-top shape. I know you can't see his whole body here, but my father, triple degree black belt, always in great shape, healthy. Here's another picture. I mean, he showed it off. My father was a gangster. He's a player back in the day. Yes, that's me on the right. So, yes, I dressed Miami Vice, as you could see. I dressed just like that. So, and this is my father from a couple of months ago. That's my mom's birthday. So my father's always been in pretty damn good shape. So he goes for a stress test in January, and my father almost passes out. They put him on the floor, they give him smelling salts, and they said, you got to go get an angiogram done. So the next day, they sent him to St. Francis Hospital, or 2 days later, to get an angiogram done. Now, I never knew what an angiogram is. And this is going to be a little graphic for the guys out there. You know, women, it's a little different. If any of you guys out there ever looked at a nudie magazine and a girl likes to spread it a little bit, you know, you got the circumference of a cucumber. You know, you got some wiggle room in there. For guys, when you get an angiogram done, they stick a needle in your, think CM Punk's phrase to MJF yesterday. They stick something in your groin and they run it up into your body and they take x-rays of your heart and your blood vessels and they can see precisely if there's any clogs, any blockages. So my father, they sent him to get an angiogram 2 days later. They would not let him go home from the hospital. They told him that he had to go for a triple bypass surgery. That the Widowmaker, and a lot of you know this already, but the Widowmaker, it's not just a bad WWF gimmick. The Widowmaker is an artery, and that his Widowmaker was so bad that if he didn't get this angiogram or the stresses, he would have been dead 2 to 3 months later. My father ended up staying in the hospital. He was under the knife for about 10 hours and had triple bypass surgery, cut from here all the way down to the bottom of his stomach. Because when they did the angiogram, they went in there, they then found all the blockages, and they said, we got to operate now. There was no, let me think about it, second opinion. He had to stay in the hospital, and he was in the hospital for, you know, a little while. So anyway, I'm supposed to get a stress test. And last week I was joking around and I said, I'm going to put it off. I don't need it right now. And Nir had said, look, you know, I'm going to get tested for a biopsy. You know, remember what you said about your uncle because he put it off. And look what happened to your dad in January. It saved your dad's life. You got to go. So I said on the show, I said, all right, since Nir is getting his biopsy, I'll get the stress test done. So I was supposed to go Monday. I postponed it to today. And this morning, I got virtually no sleep because I started thinking about what happened to my dad in January. And I'm like, okay, what if they find something in my stress test? What if they find something? I don't know. What if they find something? So my mind was all messed up last night. I got virtually no sleep. That's why it sounds like I have a cold. I got virtually no sleep. And we're going to wrap this up soon. Soon. So I went and got the stress test done today. And first they did an EKG. And when they did the EKG, the doctor says, you know, there's a couple little blips here that I don't like. Now, I have to admit, you're not supposed to eat or drink anything for like 6 hours before a stress test. I had tuna fish an hour before. I was hungry. So I said, Doc, I said, I got to be honest with you. I ate tuna fish about an hour before. Maybe it affected the test or something like that. He's like, no, he's like, that wouldn't do it. So he says, let's do the stress test. Now, I told you all I was going to do the treadmill. I didn't want to do the injection. I don't know if you could see it. They made me do the injection. Now, the good news is, any of you out there that ever goes for a stress test and you're very fearful of the injection because it makes you feel like you're going to have a heart attack because you got to speed up your heart and then slow it down, I felt almost nothing today. I felt almost nothing. They did the injection. I was a little sweaty for a few seconds. I felt a little bit off for about a minute. It was a breeze. I was like, oh, God, thank you. Because when I said about the treadmill, they're like, you don't want to do the treadmill. All right? All right. So they did the stress test. Now they inject dye in you and they take pictures of your heart. So you know me. You know one thing that's good about me and that is bad about me is, and this has been for decades, I always feel I got to prove myself. Because so many people lie on social media for attention. I have had a running joke with Mish for the last 3 or 4 years that every time I post something online about something related to health and I say, you know, look, you know, I got to do this and everybody's like, oh, best wish, there's always a group of people that within a day or two will always post something health-wise to get everybody to send them prayers too. It just, every time, and it even happened today with about 6 people. But I don't care about the 6, I care about me. So anyway, I said, you know, the doctor told me, all right, don't leave after the stress test. I'm going to give you your results today. So I grabbed my phone and I hit record when I went into his office. Now, you're going to see a 2-minute video now. All you're going to see is the floor because the doctor does not know that I recorded him. He didn't say anything that he would be angry, but I wanted all of you out there to hear what he said. And all I'm going to say to you is that it sucks. Just listen close.
Here. So as suspected, we have a problem.
We have a problem. Trust me when I tell you, when you have a heart doctor that tells you we have a problem, no matter how much you can try to prepare yourself, you don't prepare. Let me play more.
Okay.
So... problem now.
You think it could be because of this keto, maybe too much like cholesterol and stuff, and maybe we should stop it?
Well, that probably wouldn't help it, honestly. That may have caused it.
Yeah.
But now you've been doing a lot of keto, you eat mostly meats and stuff like that?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that is cardiologists. We have a hard time supporting that because we always tell people low fat, low cholesterol. I can tell you, I've even done keto myself. And the few times that I've done it, I've always felt a little bit like I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you definitely have a problem, yeah. All right, so we have to set you up for an angiogram.
Okay.
Came back at normal.
Fucking angiogram. First curse tonight.
St. Francis.
You said who your dad used recently. I think they used both used Friedman. honest with you.
Is this something that I need to get done right away?
Yeah, I would say before the holidays I would get it done.
Okay.
Get the youth after schlaf meds.
Because they're leaving for Florida Sunday.
Yeah.
They're going to be gone for about a week.
You can do it when you come back.
Yeah, okay.
Like right before Christmas, right? They'll be back for Christmas, right?
Yeah. So what actually is it showing?
It shows cholesterol buildup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so come this way. I'm going to set you up with my girls to get the ball rolling. We're going to use the same doctor we used for your parents, Dr. Schlafman, T-Rex. Okay?
Okay.
Right, come this way, okay?
All right. Should I ask you one quick question? Yeah. Do you think could also be that I stopped taking cholesterol medicine for about 2-3 months?
Unlikely that only 2-3 months did this.
Yeah, you know, okay.
This has probably been brewing for a while.
Okay.
All right, come this way, all right?
Thank you.
Sucks. Angiogram. Same test that my father had in January that led to him staying in the hospital getting triple bypass. SoFly. I think it's an anniversary for SoFly. Let's see. Oh, no. Okay, he's back. He's back, and he's bigger than ever. What's up, SoFly? Welcome back to the family, my friend. No, Lee, I won't get a second opinion. Because this doctor saved my dad's life. He also saved my mom's life. You know, I mean, the fact that my mom is still here after being clinically pronounced dead twice, or technically 3 times, a couple of years ago, you know, I mean, I no one is going to convince me not to do it. But here's why I'm telling you all this. Look at my father and the great shape that he is in. That should show you, me, and everybody out there that whether you are jacked, thin as a stick, heavy, obese, you know, little bit of junk in the trunk, this could happen to anybody. And it truly is, and I'm not being dramatic, but it truly is a silent killer. I have no chest pains. I have no issues. You might remember about a month ago, I said that I had stopped taking my cholesterol medicine for a couple of months because they wouldn't refill my prescription because they wanted me to get a stress test. Remember? And I said, Delwood, I'm not taking cholesterol medicine anymore. You know, I don't know if that court led to this. The point is that this doctor even said he wants me to get it before the holidays. So it's something serious enough that they don't even want to wait weeks. So I'm waiting for the hospital to call me, set up an appointment, and I'm going to get it done. And we'll see what happens. Look, I appreciate all the kind words, and no one feel bad. No one, you know... Believe me, I'm having fun doing the shows with all of you. This is my release, and this is my mental health as well. I'm good. Because I had a stress, and this is why I'm not extremely worried about it. I had a stress test done 2 or 3 years ago, and it was fine. So how much damage could I have done in 2 years? You know what I mean? Now, I will say this. This is two more things about this and we'll move on. Number one, if any of you out there, you start getting into your 40s, even if you're in your 30s and a cardiologist recommends it, get a stress test done. Because my uncle did not get it done, it cost him his life. That's not being dramatic. That's the facts. I've been telling that story for over a decade. The stress test is what saved my father's life in January. And I have no idea what's going to come out of this. Maybe it's just a little blockage. Maybe I just need to get stronger cholesterol medicine. So any of you out there, please, please, please. I'm not one to do PSAs, but you get it, especially in your 40s. If you're a little on the heavy side, get a stress test done because you have no idea what's brewing inside. You have no idea. I have no symptoms whatsoever to think that anything was wrong. When you hear a heart doctor says, we got a problem, and I'm thinking about my mom and my dad stuff, you know, it rattles you. So Alexis got his first one when he was 39. Now, the second thing is keto. Because a lot of you got on keto because I have been on keto. Now, I will tell you this. I talked to this heart doctor again tonight. He called me up. He asked me if I had any questions, and we talked about keto for about 10 minutes. And he asked me point blank, he says, tell me what you eat. And I gave him a typical week of what I eat. And my biggest mistake is I eat too much cheese, and I definitely eat too much bacon. And I also was having MCT oil because I like how it clears your brain fog. It clears it up immediately. But I'm staying on keto. I'm not going off it. The only changes that I'm doing is no more cheese, no more bacon. And when it comes to meats, I'm having chicken and fish more instead of steak. I was never a big steak eater until I went on keto. But steak, MCT oil, cheese, bacon, those are the four things that probably caused this to happen. Because every time I have breakfast, I always have bacon with my eggs. I want a snack, I eat cheese. Turkey bacon is okay, Harris. Turkey bacon has very little fat in it, and the cholesterol is not as bad. But remember, this is cholesterol, and the cheese has cholesterol, bacon has cholesterol, steak has cholesterol. So obviously, you know, that, you know, I ate a little too much of. So I'm just throwing it out there because I've been talking about what happened to my uncle for 10 years on the shows. And you all in real time saw what happened with my dad this year. So it's, I'm not just pulling, you know, your strings and BSing you. So you have heard it before. Now it's affected me. And here's the thing, too. Here's the thing, too, that I got to bring up also. This may have nothing to do with this. It's hereditary in my family. My uncle died from it. I have a problem with my prostate. I have not taken care of that either. It runs in my family. My grandfather had prostate cancer. My uncle had prostate cancer. My father had prostate cancer. But they all beat it. So now I'm at the Gleason level where I got to get something done about it. And, you know, I was looking to get surgery in February. The point is that it runs in my family on my father's side. So it may not just be because of the keto stuff. So anybody that's on keto, don't get paranoid thinking, you know, oh my God. But believe me when I tell you, if you don't see a heart doctor and you're in your 40s, especially, you hit 40, you got to see a heart doctor. If my fiance watches this, she's going to get pissed off. But I'm going to say it anyway. My fiance right now needs a new doctor. She has some cholesterol issues also. We eat similar, obviously. And she has not seen her doctor in 3 years. She called her doctor about 2 weeks ago because she needed cholesterol medicine. And the doctor said, we don't have you in our system anymore. And she says, what are you talking about? And the doctor says, you haven't been here in 3 years, so we took you out of the system. Well, can I sign back up? No, we're not taking new patients right now. So they're sending her to a totally different doctor. Here's my point. My fiance didn't go to a doctor for over 3 years. And whenever she wanted a refill for her cholesterol medicine, she would email the doctor, and the doctor would just call it in for 3 months. And then 3 months later, she would email the doctor. And this went on for a couple of years. I explained to her that if the doctor can't make money off of you, they're going to just drop you. So now, because I told her what happened to me today, she's crying like a baby. And I said to her, I said, look, I had a stress test done 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was fine. So I think we'll be okay with it. It's got to be 3 years ago because I know I wasn't wearing a mask at the time. So it was before COVID. But the point is, now she realizes that she's got to see doctors because you never know what's going on inside. So believe me when I tell you, doctors suck. It's not fun to go to the doctor. But when we get older, there's a couple of things that you have to get done. And believe me when I tell you, the heart doctor, the stress test is not bad. Believe me, the changes over the years with the medicine that they inject you to do the tests, it has changed so dramatically. I felt virtually nothing today. I was petrified to get the injection today. That's why I kept saying to all of you, I'm going to do the treadmill, the treadmill, the treadmill. And they said, no, we ordered the medicine for you. And I said, I don't want to take the medicine. I want to do the treadmill. And she's like, yeah, but you don't want to walk the incline. And she says, I promise you, you're not going to feel nothing. And if you do, we'll give you some soda and you'll feel better. And the doctor started playing around with my arm. And I said, doc, let me know when to start expecting it. And he says, what are you talking about? It's over. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, it's done. I felt a little off, but nothing. Now, when I go for this angiogram, I don't know. It'll probably be in 2 weeks when my parents come back from Florida because somebody's got to take me to the hospital. They won't let me drive there and drive back. But when I go there, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, I'll get the angiogram done. They won't really find anything. And I go home that same day. And then I tell you all about it. If they find something, then I'm going to be forced to stay there. And then we'll see what happens. I honestly believe that it's going to come back with very, very minor buildup. They're probably going to have to change the cholesterol medicine, maybe make it stronger. And I'm obviously having to change my diet a little bit, but I'm staying on keto. I'm not going off of it. I like the way I feel. And I just got to, you know, just be careful of the keto items that are high in cholesterol. So MCT oil is one of the worst things. MCT oil, man, if you've never tried it, you know, I would say be very careful because if you take like 2 tablespoons, you'll be crapping your brains out. You will have the worst stomach cramps. It's something your body has to get used to. But if you ever look, even if you do a Google search later, look up coconut oil and look at the level of cholesterol. I mean, 1 tablespoon is like a whole day's worth of cholesterol. So you do that, and then you have bacon and you have cheese and you have this and you have that. You know, I guess I was on overload for 2 years. So be careful. Seriously, be careful. Because I haven't even had the angiogram done. So I have no idea what's going to happen to me. But you know, I would have, if you would have told me that I would have needed one, I would have said, you're nuts. I couldn't sleep yesterday because I just kept thinking about my mom and my dad, what happened to them. So that's the deal. That's the deal. So be careful, everybody. All right. Should we cut this thing open and see what it has to say, or should we just wait till the next show? I'll leave it all up to you. Yeah, I love avocados. Avocados are great. Avocados are absolutely good. Cut it open. All right. Now, I don't have multiple cameras here, so I got to do it like this. This was something. We did that trivia contest a while back. This is, they called head bashers. I guess back in the 90s, you would like bash its head and it would go, ow. I don't know. So we opened up the Lex Luger one. Remember that one? I'm Lex Luger. Yeah, so this is the Kevin Nash one. So this one was made in 1998. World Championship Wrestling, made in China. Doesn't surprise me. So what we will do is, I didn't want to take the tag off, but once I cut the head open, it's not going to matter. So we will cut open Kevin Nash's head and see what it has to say. So we got the razor blade here. Now, this has a little battery pack inside. I guess we don't have to really be, like, really technical. So we have penetrated Kevin Nash's head. Oh, I remember they had the little balls. Remember the little balls? So we got to get into, we got stuffing. We take some of the stuffing out of his head. Takes little stuffing out of his head. There's another lining inside, so we got to cut the lining inside. Okay. And then what we do is we remove the old batteries. Now, the only thing that sucks, I got to show this to you. The only thing that sucks, watch this. You see that? It's got all these tiny little plastic balls. Now when I, because I have no socks on, when I go to walk out of the room later, my feet are gonna hurt like hell. All right, let's take this thing out. All right. Man, I'll tell you one thing that sucked about technology 20-some-odd years ago is all the voice boxes and stuff were so much bigger. I have to cut this even further. Okay. All right, we got it. We got it. I know you're just looking at me looking down, but I'm trying to pull the box out without... Oh, man, all these plastic little balls. I'm sure you probably could hear them falling. Look. Oh, look at this. I don't remember the Luger one being this bad. This better be worth it. All right, this is the voice box. So what we got to do, if I remember correctly, is we got to pop this thing open, take the batteries out, and okay. Got to make sure not to break the speaker. Otherwise, this is an epic fail. All right. Okay, we got it open. All right, so that's what it looks like inside. See the three batteries? We got to take the batteries out and put some new batteries in. The battery's all oxidized, I could see, but it doesn't look like they exploded. Okay. Yeah, the batteries, I don't know if you could see it. You see how they're all oxidized? They're brown. You see that? Yeah. All right. Oh, man, they are oxidized bad. So anyway, you got brand new batteries here. We got one. We got two. And the third one is always the hardest one. We got three. Talk to me. I don't hear nothing. This might be a dud. This might be a dud. Should we be surprised that we open up Kevin Nash's head and nothing happens? I don't hear nothing. Maybe if I click it together. Nothing. Maybe the battery, you know what? Maybe these are old batteries too. These could very well be old batteries. So let's take these batteries out. I have batteries right here. I'm sorry if this is a little unprofessional, but, you know, like I said. All right, so we got three. These are definitely brand new batteries. Those might have just been old batteries, too, from one of the other things. It just wasn't oxidized. That might have been it. Wow. This thing seems to be falling apart. I'm trying not to break anything. Not trying to brawn it. Come on. Ah, I just dropped one of the batteries. All right. That's okay. We still got three more in here. Okay. All right, we're in business. We got battery one. We got battery two. Now we got battery three. All right, come on. Get in there. All right. Now, these are definitely new batteries. So let's see if it talks. It might just be a dud. It's a dud. Mother son of a bitch. Come on, Nash. Nothing. I definitely put the batteries on right. Let me just double check. We got a dud, everyone. It's Braun Broken. Absolutely, Costanza. It's Braun Broken. All right, let me just pry this open. That sucks, man. What an epic fail. I think the batteries are on. Yeah. Maybe they're not on right. Let me switch them around. All right. No, they got to be on right. They have to be on right. Yeah. You know what I think it is? The other batteries were so oxidized, I think it just ate away at the connections. So I'm trying putting them back in. I haven't given up hope yet, but I think this is a dud. All right. Let's snap it back on. There we go. Nothing. Damn you, Kevin Nash. What a waste. What a waste. Kevin Nash, you disappointed me. This is the fake. Yeah, you're right. It's the fake diesel. Doesn't work.
Bullshit level, DEFCON 5.
I got ripped off. I forgot who sent me this. You ripped me off. You made me buy batteries for nothing. But, you know, again, if you look at these batteries, I don't know if you could see it. It's like brown. They're all like, I mean, it just probably ate away at everything. Yeah, so unfortunately, now I got a floor of little freaking, well, at least we still got this. Here, look. Oof.
I'll be back.
NWO's going down.
That's the most funniest thing about the Sting stuff. He was such a depressed mother, you know what? Mother trucker. I mean, look at all this Sting stuff from back in the day. I mean, tell me that doesn't look like the saddest, most pissed off person. This is the best of them all. Look at this. Look at his hair. What the hell is that? Look at his freaking hair. This is real. This is really what his hair was. Tell me when Sting had hair like this. No wonder why these things are still available. I mean, it was never happy. I can't even picture him saying, like, it's showtime, folks. Look, look at the mug. It's like, does it really have to be showtime? Look at this one. Showtime? Ah, man. Yeah, he does look like a member of KISS. This is the best one of them all. Look at the eyes, man. I honestly don't understand who in 1998 said, hey, Sting, we think this will be a good seller at KB Toy Stores. Who the hell comes up with this? And it even has, look, it even has like a WCW hologram. See the hologram? To certify its authenticity. You know what I want to do? I want to set the hair on fire. But I don't have any like bucket of water to put it out. Maybe we'll set the hair on fire next week. We'll pretend we're Cody. We'll set the hair on fire. So we'll see. Man, I just can't picture. I'm being serious for a minute. I just can't picture like somebody who was a big Sting fan in 1998, like a parent, wrapping this up in a box. And you know when they would take like candy and they would tape it to the top of the box so you knew you had candy? Like, how do you get excited seeing that? It's so freaking depressing. Look at his face up close. Oh, do I have to? NWO, you're going down. What a depressed. It's sad. Oh, my God. When people started sending me this, I'm like, I don't remember the Sting toys being this, like, depressed and angry, like constipated. Oh, anyway, I think it's end time, folks. think we're going to wrap it. We're at 95 minutes, which is right around the time that I want to keep the shows at. And, okay, somebody, see, I like doing it on audio only, Rams fan. Muttley laugh. Yeah. You know, look, after getting, you know, this horrible news that I got today, you know, it's very easy to get rattled big time. I mean, mental health is so much more important now than what it was back in the day, because back in the day, oh, you got to be tough. Stop being a wimp. You know, it's not that easy. I had one of our Patreons, his neighbor committed suicide. And this is within the last week or two. And he doesn't know how to even, like, deal, like, approach his, you know, surviving members that live next door. You know, and, you know, it's the only thing I could say to everyone out there is that, you know, I know everybody seems to want to be better after tragedies. We got to do better. We got to be better. Don't wait for a tragedy. You know, I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And yes, sometimes I can be an absolute asshole, no question. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm there for everybody. I mean, you know, you're going to come across, you know, your shady people and everything. And those people you really can't do anything about. But, you know, you just got to surround yourself with people that'll make you happy. I mentioned this on Patreon on Tuesday. You know, my father, when I was growing up, my father always said to me, oh, if you hang out with lazy people, you're going to be a lazy person. You hang out with drug addicts, you're going to be a drug addict. You hang out with garbage, you're going to be garbage. You know, and I say that also, even when it comes to online, if you surround yourself with people who just find the negatives and always have to post the horrible stuff and this and that, it's just going to bring you down. You know, just surround yourself, even if it's not that popular. You know, you might have a group of 200 people here that all they like to do is just rip, complain, and put people down and put other people down and explain why everything sucks, but they never tell you why things are good. That might be the more tempting way to go. Then you might see 10 people here that are trying to find, like, the things that make everybody laugh, the things you have in common, you know, sports, movies, hobbies, just regular conversation, playing games. And, you know, you may not get the attention that you would over here, but man, it does it feel so much better. Even my shows, you know, granted, I mean, people know by now the numbers that I get, it's mostly audio, but, you know, I'd rather have a smaller audience having a great time than have this gigantic audience of nothing but bitter bitches. Why would I want that? You know? So I closed the way I opened up tonight. You know, I didn't want to have to look at the AEW Dynamite rating like that. AEW Dynamite's rating should be better. Thanksgiving is not today. It was last week. What's last night's excuse? This was a week after MJF and CM Punk tearing it up with an awesome promo exchange last week. One of the best in 20 years. Not the, but one of the best. So you mean to tell me all the people that missed Dynamite last week because of Thanksgiving, you mean they didn't want to tune in the following week to see what's going to happen next? They were the highest part of the show, but their highest part of the show was still less than last week. So AEW, you could do better. You could do better. Do not listen to those people online that just tell you, oh, you're doing an amazing job, boss. You're doing an amazing job, God. You're doing an amazing job, Tony. You're doing an unbelievable, epic, unbelievable, greatest job in 20 years, 30 years. Because those are the people that are not going to do anything to make your product better. So, all right, Rams fan. I look like an absolute fool doing this on video. The Muttley laugh. You got to look at Dick Dastardly and Muttley, the dog. He would always put his hand and go. I'm exhausted. Oh, that was cool yesterday to bring back the Red Fox. I haven't done the Red Fox impersonation in about 15 years with Triple H. The haters are begging 2.0, not AEW's, but NXT 2.0. You got to beat Ciampa's team Sunday. So we could say that Triple H's legacy is officially dead. So Triple H could get another heart attack. And like we say, yeah, I know I'm bringing it back. Stephanie, in the big one. Stephanie, in the big one. See, now because I did it, it's not as good. When you don't plan on doing it is when it's usually good. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. Everyone have a great weekend. I will be back up here Saturday. Wait. Yeah, Saturday. Oh, yeah, Saturday's the Don Tony show. Saturday is starting to turn into the flagship show. So Saturday we will have some pretty good topics to get into. We'll have SmackDown in the books. We'll have Rampage in the books. We'll have some news that'll transpire between now and then. So if you are home Saturday night at around 8 o'clock, you're more than welcome to join me for about an hour, hour and a half. And then Sunday, you know, remember, it's NXT War Games. So the sit-down will be postponed for a week, which is okay. But Sunday, I will be here with your NXT War Games recap. I think the show is going to be a lot better than people expect. You just have to keep the mindset that you're watching a developmental brand. And yes, you have some established wrestlers that are also on the show, but they're there to guide and help bring up the young talent to the next level. It's cyclical. It's been going on for 100 years. You have older stars that start helping bring up the younger stars. Johnny Gargano just gave a nice rub to Bron Breakker on NXT Tuesday. So, you know, like I said before, you watch superstars, you watch any of the shows from back in the day that didn't have, you know, it was more of the mid-card or younger stars, you know, you always had some older stars on the show. You didn't have 19-year-olds taking on 19-year-olds unless they were, you know, amazing stars. You know, just wasn't the case. So, all right, everyone. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. What are we at right now? I forget. I think we're at like at 23,600 and counting. So I thank you all, as always, for the support. And whether you tune in to video or you tune in to audio, I appreciate each and every one of you out there. And, you know, you are always welcome to email me, dontony@dontony.com. Sometimes I do get a little overloaded with the emails. I eventually get back to everyone. And I also should be up to date with everybody's prizes. Now, I will tell you that the person who won the Charlie doll and the Lily doll 2 weeks ago never claimed it. So if everybody is still around, you know what? You all interested in the Charlie and the Lily doll? You want to do a Rampage predictions contest right now? Want to do it? You got to do it in a live chat. Can't do it in the comment section because people could edit, especially after a day. They could post it Friday and you don't know what time they posted it. So let's do that. If you want to win the Lily doll and the Charlie doll, it's in the box, sealed, ready to go. Person never claimed it. So wait, yeah, Larry C, you were the original winner. Did you just like ruin the contest tonight? Larry, you still want it? Larry, you got to like answer like quickly. I don't know if you were. Larry, I don't remember the winner. I don't know. Chat room, do you remember who won? I don't know if Larry C won. I don't remember. Well, you know what? I'll do this. I have more than one set. WWE sent me 6 Charlie dolls. I think I have 3 Lily dolls still. So let's do the contest anyway. I'll go back to the results and I'll check them. And Larry C., if you were the winner, I still have it boxed up for you. So we'll do another contest tonight. So we'll give away another set. So here's what you do, very quickly. Predict what Rampage's rating will be this Friday. Remember, you have Sammy Guevara versus Tony Nese. Is it must-see TV? I rephrase that. Is that must-see first run live TV? I don't know. We have Jade Cargill taking on one of Thunder Rosa's students. We have FTR taking on Penta and Pac. Originally, it was supposed to be, I think, for the AAA tag titles, and then I heard today they might have changed that to a non-title match, whatever. So, all right, well, everybody is starting to post their ratings prediction. Now, you only get one chance to post a ratings prediction. If you post more than one, I go with your first one anyway. And last week's rating, good question. Good question. You don't have to post it yet. I'm checking. I'll get you last week's rating. Last week was in the fours. That I know. Remember, it was Thanksgiving holiday. So, in my opinion, the rating is definitely going to go up. I'm pulling it up. Hang on. I'm checking it out. I have it here. All right. Last week's Rampage rating was 431,000. Last week was 431,000. Now, it was Thanksgiving, but also remember this. This was the day after Thanksgiving, but remember this. For everybody that said, oh, Rampage was very low because it was Thanksgiving weekend, SmackDown's rating went up. Explain that. I mean, I have the answers, but I personally think Rampage's rating is going to go up, and I think it's going to be very slightly because as much as fans enjoy watching Sammy Guevara perform, I don't know if Sammy Guevara versus Tony Nese is going to be the draw-in because that's going to likely be the opening match of Rampage, and then the close will be FTR versus Penta and Pac. And we've seen variations of that before. So, all right, post your numbers because we're going to finish this in about 60 seconds. So don't overthink it, but look at the chat room because if someone else predicted the same rating as you, that person predicted it first, they win. So if you see someone in the chat room that wrote like 550, don't write 550, write 551 or write 549. Remember the Price is Right that they would do that to screw people over? Like somebody would think that everybody, or somebody will bid 1,000 and someone will go, 1,001, Bob. And that person that had the 1,000 wanted to break the neck of the other person. You son of a bitch. Seriously. I love doing that on eBay. You ever bid on eBay and you guess what the final bid is? So like, you know, you think that somebody bid like $201 for something. So you bid $201.35. I can't tell. Back in the day when they used to show you the names of the bidders and the amounts they bid, oh my God, I used to get nasty messages from people. You son of a bitch. You outbid me by 60 cents. You prick. You stupid son of a bitch. I lost my item because you outbid me by a dollar. I know people earlier that are like, son of a bitch, I predicted 563 and this son of a bitch just wrote 563,001. That's the way it goes. All right, 30 seconds, everybody. 30 seconds. This is whoever comes closest to the rating will win a Charlie doll and a Lily doll sealed in the package. When you get it, you can play with it. You can sell it. You can give it to someone. You can re-gift it. That's fine. Just don't re-gift it to me. Because sometimes I go to my P.O. box and there's a couple of packages waiting. I got a couple of gifts inside that I haven't opened yet. And the last thing I want to do is open up the box and, hey, look, it's a Charlie and a Lily doll. My thoughts on the Michigan school incident, Charlie, it's terrible. It's terrible. Look, I've been watching so much history about things that have happened in the 1800s and the 1900s. I've just gotten on that kick. And there were, you know, shootings and killings in the 1920s in schools. You know, there's, I've always, if you remember about 2 years ago, I said that I think every school should have metal detectors. And I know there's a lot of people like, oh, what message does that show you? The students, they walk in and they're surrounded by metal detectors. I got news for you. If I was 14 years old, going to school, and there was a metal detector, you know what I would say? Good, at least I know no one else in the school has a gun. People are so freaking fragile these days, man. Where I live, there's a high school. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. If you haven't, Google it. Franklin K. Lane High School. I used to hang out with my friends in Woodhaven. Remember the Vito, the little kid I gave the X-Lax to when I was 16? Remember Vito, Vinica, chocolate. 5 blocks away is Franklin K. Lane School. Just do a Google search and see all the crime that went on in the 80s at that school. It's just, it's something that you're never going to ever be able to fully prevent. You just got to hope that, you know, if you see something on social media and somebody is out of control or they're sending subliminal messages that just seem like something is... Look at this guy with Seth Rollins. Look at this guy with Seth Rollins. When you start seeing online the stuff that this guy's been saying for a couple of years, I mean, how do people respond to the guy for the last 2 years writing LOL, smiley, laughing emoji face? No, I would be like, something's up with this guy. Something ain't right here. You know, you can't just like laugh it off and brush it off. So you see someone on social media and... Don't worry about it if somebody calls you a rat, you know, because you might be stopping something that could be, you know, a tragedy. You never know. You never know. All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Much love. You are right, Danish. I'll see you all Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Good luck to everybody who participated in the contest. Hit that like button, subscribe, and ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.